Okay.
Right, so last time we dealt with the halachic issues that come up with anot in life, koach. And now we're going to come back to the meaning of the bracha. I saw, by the way, just over the, while you guys were gone, that the Rav also didn't say it with Shem Hashem. Do you say it at all, or you just say it without Shem Hashem?
I say all of them. I do say it.
Okay, but yeah. Meaning...
I say...
What did your father say? Not say it at all, or to say it, but without Shem Hashem?
My dad does it wrong. I'm not sure exactly how he does it.
Okay.
He said, I was taught to do, like, Baruch, and I was saying, like...
Right, so that's it. So the Rav apparently also passed like, Rav, not surprisingly. Also, like, in general, he just felt like, you know, anything that didn't appear in the Gemara, so you don't say it with Shem Hashem. The same on the Baruch of L'Olam, where he said it without Shem Hashem, Baruch Ata, right, Mekadosh, etc. Okay. But what does the bracha mean? Right? So what does it mean? So as we saw already, and this overlapped a little bit with the halachic issue, but already in the Avudraham, going all the way back to number two, he says, "Aval nag and lomar bracha acheret chain in the scared big mar." This is source two. V'hi baruch ata Hashem kinemach lo magbi eshvalim. Right, first he goes magbi eshvalim. V'yesh mekomot shemavarchem notin leiv koach. And some have this minog to say notin leiv koach. V'atam afarshenu b'gamalnu chasadim tovim. So he says, "What's the reason?" I'm not telling you yet. Right, it's in gamalnu chasadim tovim, and we'll see that in a second. The tour had said, "What's the, what does the bracha mean?" V'nitkina, this was three. Al sh'adam makfkid nishmato be'erev b'yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu ayifa me'avoda kasha kol ha'yom ma'chzir lo b'boker shkeita u'shleiva. The meaning of it is that you give your soul, so to speak, to God, tired, and you get it back in the morning, awake. Al pi ha'midrash, and it's based on the midrash of chadashim lebkarim rabba emunatecha. There's a midrash on the pasuk in Eicha, and this is also the basis for another minhag, which is clearly not a bracha-based minhag, but what other tefillah is based on this midrash? The midrash on the pasuk in Eicha of Chadashim Libkarim Rabba Emunatecha. So we'll see in a second the midrash, but already from that pasuk, you should know what other tefillah is also based on this. Modani. Right, Modani. Modani is also a Perush of sorts on this midrash, and the midrash is, as the Torah quotes it, "Basar v'dam mafkid pikadon biad chaveru machziru lo baluyu mikulkal." Right, when a human being gives security, an object to watch to his friend, it comes back worn out. Aval adam mafkid b'chol erev nishmato biad haKadosh Baruch Hu. But human beings give their soul to God. The ayefa, it is tar machziru lo chadasha rugua, and you get it back new, right? Better than it was, right? It's like you give someone, "Can you wash my, you know, suit?" And it comes back, you know, dry clean. Yes, exactly. The omer yiratzon, etc. So the meaning of this seems to be linked to this pasuk in Eicha, right? That seems to be the consensus, that whatever this means, it's based on the midrashic understanding of that pasuk in Eicha. And if you look at the Avudraham in 18, this is where the Avudraham said, I'll explain it to you later. He says, on the bracha of Mavir Sheina, so on the phrase of Gomleni Chazim Tovim, Al Shein Gemul Avdecha Chayeh, Ki Be'erev Adam Ayev. Right? What is this great Gemilut Chesed that God does for us? So, at night we are tired, exhausted, V'holech Lishon, we go to sleep, V'erev Kameit, and you are dead. Umafkid nishmato biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you give your soul to God. The gomeli mochesed, and God does great kindness to you. Machzir lo baboker kishehi rigua v'zeu shnemer chadashim lebkarim rabba munatecha. Now, what this tells you is, why is this bracha then next to Mavir Sheina in our Sidurim? Presumably because these are thematically linked, that this is one of the great kindnesses that God gives us our soul. Now, there does seem to be two things included here. One is this idea that, you know, it's a quasi-Tchiyat HaMeisim, right? I just mixed Ashkenazis and Sephardis there. That was bad, right? Tchiyat HaMeitim or Tchiyat HaMeisim. Okay, not Tchiyat HaMeisim. That's just wrong. That's just wrong. The second is simply the much more simplistic idea, which is you're tired, you go to sleep, you wake up, and you are refreshed. Or if you're a teenager, you say I'm still tired, and you bang on your alarm, or you ignore your alarm, and you go back to sleep.
So those are the first things that you say.
Well, so in that sense, right, Modani is building on the minhag of Modani, which is admittedly a much later minhag, right? No one claims it's not. It's a minhag of about 500 years, but that minhag is also building on it. Because yes, at some level, the idea of Nozin Levkoch is the same as Modani. And so we say a version of that praise the first thing when you get up. So in that sense, yeah, that's...
If you're one of the Siddur, or the order that like things happen, then you should do it as soon as you wake up.
Yeah, presumably, right? Meaning potentially, right? Meaning it's a little bit odd there because the Rambam doesn't believe in this bracha, so the Rambam doesn't tell you when you say it. But the Rambam who follows the position that the bracha said as they happen, presumably, yes, would have endorsed saying it, I guess, as soon as you...
There would be a bunch that, like, once you, like, open your eyes.
Right. Right, which is what you do with Modani, right? That the minhag of Modani is to say it, like, right as...
You wake up,
the minhag of Modani. I'm not saying I'm always the best at saying Modani either, but right, it's a beautiful minhag, and I try to remember. But yeah, when you wake up, it's like, right? Yeah. Yes. What time is it? How much, how quickly do I have to get out of the house? Yeah. How much traffic am I going to face? Yeah, we know. Okay. So what I gave you basically is, here it doesn't seem to be really based on so much on the pshat of the psukim as much as the midrashic understanding of the psukim. But let's look at the psukim and a little bit of the midrashim, and just again, here it seems to be that everyone agrees more or less with the ideas. But let's flesh it out a little bit. So if you turn now to 19, this is the psukim that it comes from. So this is the middle of the third paragraph of Eicha. Now, the third paragraph of Eicha, as you might remember, is the one which has the Aleph Bet three times, but each pasuk is short, right? And it's written in the first person, right? It's the rest are talking to Yerushalayim, or Yerushalayim is talking, as opposed to the person suffering, right? Ani ha'ish. So this appears in the middle of that parak. So the pasuk says, Zichor anyim yerudi la'navarosh. I just gave you a few psukim before, so you remember where this is, where the person turns to God, remember my pain. Zichor tizkor v'tashoch alay nafshi, zot ashuv elibi alkein ochil. Right, I hope to you, etc. And then chet. So here's a echavort for you. The first seven letters in the third paragraph of Echa are misery. The turning point is pasuk chet, right? Not pasuk chet, the three chet psokim. At some point, right, it seems to be that he just switches, that once in his suffering he dwells on God's existence and he's communicating with God, that starts to bring comfort, right? Because at the beginning he's just saying things are terrible. But once he says to God, remember my pain, that begins the healing process. Because once he has God in his mind, so then Ched starts off with Chasdei Adonai ki lo tamnu, ki lo chalo rachamav. The kindness of God have never ceased. His mercy has never ended. Right, that's a total flip from I am suffering and miserable to, but wait a second, God is really kind. Right, as soon as God is in his mind, he remembers God is not, life is not as bad. It's not pure evil. Even in his state of suffering, there's still something to thank God for. And that, in that chet, is where he says, Chadashim labkarim rabam unatecha. Right? Every morning, anew, your faithfulness is great. Chelki Adonai amra nafshi, alkein ochil, oh God, you are my portion. That's why I hope to you. Tov Adonai lekovav, unefesh utreshenu, God is good to those who hope to him. Tov yachil v'dumam, lechuat Adonai, tov lagever ki yisa, o ben urav. So this midrash, the midrashic read that we're going to see, it picks up on a very important point in Eicha. Right? The place in Eicha is that moment at which people realize that no matter how bad things are, life itself, the fact that God grants you life at all, is evidence of a deep-rooted, fundamental kindness in the fabric of life, in the fabric of reality, in the fabric of nature. And that's the pasuk that's being picked up on, right? You see, this is the changing point, right? And it's that, this is the first thing he actually says, right? Meaning, Chasdei Hashem ki lo tamnu is, God's kindness is great. And then what's his example, right? So you have to just think where this pasuk is coming. It's once he's switched out of that mindset that life is only a living hell, and says, no, actually, God is kind. Right? What is the kindness that he says? Is the fact that every morning, God's faithfulness is renewed. Right? That's the puzzle we're picking up on. Right? That's what motivates him to see, oh, I hope to God there is goodness in this world. So I don't think it's surprising that midrashically, this becomes the pasuk where we like talk about the very basics, right? The very basic of God's goodness to us, or the fact that yes, it is the basis for the minhag b'nos and lekoach, but it's also the basis for modani. But this is the minhag b'modani is just an extension of b'nos and lekoach, which itself just a channeling of that idea that at some level this bracha is capturing the very basic things that we recognize about God's goodness in this world, right? That is in pshat what is happening in this pasuk. That's where this pasuk is emerging from. So the midrashim really point to this idea. So I gave you a few of them. I mean, as you saw for the Avudraham, this bracha really is based on those midrashim. So look at the psikta, for example, chadashim lebkarim, chidushim ata atid lasod Yisrael. So, no, actually, you know what? Let me skip for a second. Go to 22, right? Psikta Zutrata. This is a late midrash, I think. Psikta Zutrata. Zutrata is... also known as Lekach Tov. Rav Tuvia bar Eliezer, Rechai b'meya hatshi'it le'elef hachamishi. So that's, right, 49.
The year 49?
4900, no, 4900. And, right, so 800 years ago. It's a late midrash.
Oh.
Right, meaning whether this is earlier material, you know.
When you said late, I mean like late, like going up to this.
Right, so no, so there are these medieval midrashim, but still, these traditions are, again, they're reflective. Everyone agrees this is a minhag. So it's not like, right, it's not like I'm reading back into Chazal a later midrash. No, this is a later one. And these are, this is what people are thinking, right? I mean, this is, right, the point is that this is the way people take this. Okay, so a look at the midrash Tehillim first. In 22. B'yadcha avkid ruchi. This is the expansion. B'noag sheba olam adam mafkidin etz lo piktonot. V'hu machlef shel zeh b'zeh v'shel zeh b'zeh. Right? Normally you give someone something, they switch it. Lefi shein makirin, right? You give me your sweatshirt, your YU sweatshirt. You give me your YU sweatshirt. Everyone has YU sweatshirts because they gave it out, right? So I end up switching them. Who cares? Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein. But you don't wake up in Josh's body. Josh doesn't wake up in your body, right? I got this Baruch Hu Eino Kein. El Hashem El Emet. That's usually the theme of a movie, right? Or a book, right?
We sleep right next to each other.
Yeah, there you go, right? Freaky Friday. It's Adar. It's Adar. God's playing a game, right? So Shema Amad Echad Shachar Vikesh Nafshol Motzah. Did anyone ever wake up in the morning and say, "Wait, where's my soul?" Or Shema Motzah Nafshol Biadacher. Did he find his soul by somebody else? Or Nafshol Shalachar Biado, or someone else's soul in him? Lekach Never Patita Oti Hashem Elamet. Right, you redeemed me, God of Truth. Right. So it's again, it's just basics. It's our soul is found in our body when we wake up. Amar Alexandri Basar Adam Mavkidin Biado Chadashim Shon Etzlov Machshim Bluim Yeshanim. The second one is, again, we give things, it comes back more worn out than when we gave it. We give it to God, worn out, and we get it back. And you know this. And he says, this elaborates. You work all day on 28 calories or whatever they give you in when you build the frame in Dubai, right? And your soul is worn out. And when you go to sleep, you put your soul with God. It's healthy. But now we move farther, right? So both of these have said, It's the fact that we're, right? So point one, the most basic is our soul gets back to us. Point two is our soul, our life, we are rejuvenated by sleep. Right? That's the chesed. But then the Midrash transitions and he says, and the fact that God rejuvenates us every day points to a deeper truth. And that is, the fact that you do this every morning, it gives us belief in Tchira Meitim, right? The fact that we see that every morning is some sort of rejuvenation gives us the belief that God has that power to do that. And then Rav Chazandri takes it in yet another direction. And he says, no, the fact that we see that God does it at an individual level gives us faith that God will do it at a national level. Because Galut is the same thing also. Where at a national level, God allows us to rejuvenate. So right, the fact that you're Mechadesh in mourning of Galut, we know that you will redeem us. Right? So there's a national element. There's an eschatological element to this. Right? So you have these four different levels here. Right? That every morning, what we think about is, first of all, simply the fact that we got our soul back. Us. Second is that God rejuvenates us. The third is that leads us to believe that if God can bring us back to life every morning, that he can bring us back to life when we go into the deepest of sleeps and we die. And then it takes us to the national level, which is, well, if God does that at the individual level, he also can do it at the national level. Right? So what you get here is that I think two things are going on, and in Eicha this makes a lot of sense, is that this is really pshat in Eicha, right? Or it's not far off from pshat, which is, here he is complaining as an individual who suffered a national tragedy. And then at some point, he switches tone and has faith that God can redeem the Jewish people and that can undo the galut. Why? What brings him to that recognition? Chadashim v'karim, rabbi v'netecha, because he looks at his own life and he says, well, every morning, you're kind to me. Right? Exactly, right? That is actually the way things work, is that when things are bad, everything is bad, right? My life is bad, the national life is bad, everything is bad. But once you have that hook that you can say, no, things aren't as bad, when there's hope, it opens you up to see hope more broadly. And that's what the Midrash is really saying. It's saying, look, every morning, the first thing I notice is I got my life back. And then I realize, not only did I get my life back, but sleep has improved on my life, right? I'm energized. And wait, you mean God can take something that's basically dead, exhausted, and at some level dead, because sleep is 1/60 of death, according to Chazal, right? And gives you back life. So wait, so maybe God can do greater things. And if he can do this for individuals, well, he does it to every individual. So maybe he doesn't just do it to every individual, but he can do it to the individuals as a collective, right? That's how thanks works, is that we use a recognition, and that's when you get an Eicha. It's not just that he's saying, oh, I thank God for what he does every morning. It's that acknowledgement of what God does every morning is what pushes me to realize that God is good, that there is hope more generally. And that, I think, is at some level the pshat in this Midrash, right? And the pshat that the Midrash is teasing out of Eicha is that the key to having any hope is to recognize the miracles inherent in life. And once you do that, right, you can, if you utilize that, have that shift in perspective. Now it's interesting, right? We noticed this quickly last time. But if you remember, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav takes this to an extreme. Because what does the Shulchan Aruch HaRav say? Do you remember? I know you've had a busy week. Shulchan Aruch HaRav said that, why is it legitimate to say Anos and Lefkoach? It's not in the Gemara. Right? So we saw the main possibilities were either Minog justifies it, or it really isn't the Gemara. But Shulchan Aruch HaRav had the third position, which was, no, it's a formal Takana. So it's a formal Takana. Why did we have a Takana and not the Gemara? So look back at 14. He says, "B'medinon elu noagin levarcha noten leav koach v'tiknu ha'goonim acharta chatimara Talmud." they instituted after the Gemara. Why? Bibnei tashut kavach shiyardal olam. Because of the weakness that came to the world. Uvachol yom mitchadesh kocho shel adam. Sha'amru chadashim lekarim rabba munadecha. Right? He says what? That this was a takana because the world changed. Right? After Chatimat HaTalmud, right? People were weaker. Right? And therefore, they needed a bracha to acknowledge the greatness of God in our weaker state. Now, what he's, again, whether historically he's right, there's a gzeira, but what is he saying? He's saying, look, this bracha is necessary if people are in a weaker state and need that or don't realize the strength God is giving them, then we need to acknowledge it. Right? Maybe time of the Gemara was obvious, and maybe for us it's not. But what he's saying is that this is a response to a recognition that we are in a state that requires rejuvenation. Right? Which only happened for him after the Talmud. In the time of the Talmud, they didn't have that. I don't know why. Right? Whatever. Whether or not you buy his historical claim, what he's saying is that this bracha is coming to acknowledge our reality that we're in and to open us up to the miracles of life. Okay, so now if you go back to number 20, so I gave you just a few others of midrashic sources that focus on the national. So in the Psikta, the primary one is the national, that Chadashim Lebkarim Chidushim Ata Atid Lasot at Israel, right? You're going to do something new for the Jews. Kinyan Shemar Yivarei Chadasha Atatis Machbar Atatis Gever V'Amar Ki Gasher Shemayim Chadashim V'Aretz Chadasha. Right? This is really about that in the future, be new heavens, new earth. Lebkarim Ata Atid Lahatzmid Kol Rishi Aretz. In the future, you'll get rid of all the evil. Rabam Notecha L'Kayim V'Archa Shamarta Atzmit Li Kol Rishi Aretz. And what is your emuna, your faithfulness, that you promised you would do this? And then, right, so interestingly, in the Midrash Tehillim, it starts from, again, it starts from the individual. You give me life, you rejuvenate me, you will give me back life, and then you give us national life. In the Psikta, it's the opposite. Right, we start from the eschatology. We say, in the future, you're going to get rid of the evil, and there'll be new heavens and earth and miracles and whatever. And where does he get that idea? Chadashim lekarim mitoch shata mechadish kol boker boker nishmatenu yodim anu sherabba minzcha legaleinu. Right, so for him, it works the opposite way. It's not that we build, right? That we start. It's the same idea from two perspectives, right? In Midrash Tehillim, we build from the individual to the national. In the Psikta, it's we start with the national. You are going to rejuvenate the nation, but how do I know? Because of what you do to me, right? Now it's two ways of getting to the same place, right? Where Midrash Tehillim says, first I focus on the kindness of my life, and as I focus on it, I realize that God's kindness goes beyond me. For the Psikta, it's the opposite. I make the broad claims. God is going to redeem the nation, get rid of the evils, make a new heaven and earth, a new reality. And how do I know that God can do that? Because I reflect on the inherent miracles in life. And the Al-Sheikh, commenting on this pasuk, just says, Al-Asher chashavti tovat techolti me'ashen. Right. Once I've lost my hope, right, I dwell on it and I think, wait a second. I think about the fact that God gives us our life every day. Right. So again, this is the pshat in the psikta that. Again, it's a similar word, but I think the reason the Psikta and the Alshav go in this direction, right, they start with the national, is because that's the context of Eicha, right? Is he saying, how do I, right, he's dwelling on the suffering of the nation, and then he's saying, but there's hope. How do I know there's hope? Because in my life, even as tough as things are, I see God's kindness, right? The Midrash Tehillim is going in the opposite direction, saying, no, you dwell on yours, right? That's not how things work. Things don't start at the national. Things start at the personal. That may open you up to other things. Okay. Skip down to 23. So the Aruch HaShulchan adds another level to this. His first one, he quotes the Torah, but two lines in, he says, "V'od, I have another pshat for you." Sha'anu ayefe hazman. We are just tired. And if it weren't for Ashkacha, we could never stand up. Now the Piskei Tshuvot points out that what is the Aruch HaShulchan saying? So the Aruch HaShulchan is being machadish, that the source of this bracha is not everything we just saw from Eicha, as beautiful as it is, and actually pretty simple and compelling, but it's actually a pasuk in Yishayahu. So if you look at 24, oh, the bags. So if you look at 24, Yishayahu says, Ve'el mi tedamyuni v'eshve yomar kadosh. Who could you compare me to? Sim'u, now this is a very beautiful pasuk. Si'u marom enechem ru'u mi vara eile. Look up to heaven and see who created all of this, who brings out the star, the legions of heavens in their numbers. They all call out in their name from Mirovonim, from strength. No person is left out. So in Yeshayahu, God is calling on the Jewish people to recognize God by looking at nature and realizing what God has done. What? Yeah, the way the Rambam describes Avram. Lama tomor Yaakov v'taber Yisrael nistara darkim Adonai melayim v'shmeti Yavor. Why, Jews, do you say that your ways are hidden from heaven? Right? Why do you claim that God doesn't care about you? Halo yadatoim lo shamata lo yalam Adonai borek tzad aretz lo yaf v'lo yiga v'in cheker l'tfunato. Don't you know? Haven't you heard that God is the heaven of earth? He created the edges of creation. He never gets tired, and there is no any chegel advanatoy. You can't even like fathom. No tain la ya'ef koach. Admittedly, this is a much better source for the bracha than the one in Eichaj. The actual words, no tain la ya'ef koach leino nimatz barapa. He gives strength to the tired, to those who have no strength, great power. Young people can get tired. Even the young can get tired. Like, no, this never happens. Teenagers are never tired. It's supposed to have endless energy. Never. But even teenagers can get tired. But those who have faith in God will never get tired. Right? That's why trying to get out for Shabbos, Ray Wasserman can draw on you know, deep powers of an Israeli bus driver and get you out of the air, right? You guys were exhausted, but no, right? He can get you out for Shabbos, right? So what is this pasuk saying, right? If you think that the source is not Eicha, but it's Yishayahu, so the fundamental point here is to recognize that the power that God gives to beings is more lasting and more powerful than the natural vigor, even of youth. Right? And that's supposed to invigorate you, right? This belief in God, the belief that God created everything, right? That's supposed to give you power. It's supposed to. So look at the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra says, "Hu echiga." What's the point? Because, and why is it connected to mi bara eila, look who created the world? The Ibn Ezra is very simple. Echliga, you have strength. How could you ever be tired? Hu anatein lev koach. You get strength from God. And God created the world. Meaning, if you get strength from, even if you're a healthy teenager who does sports and works out and eats 4 trillion calories a day, right? Still, your strength is finite. But if you get your strength from God, then your strength is infinite. The Radak, v'hu yitain kishiyir tzekoch v'atzmal Yisrael shem begalut v'yifim v'yigim me'on anim. Now this is true of the individual, as the Ibn Ezra says, and it's true of the Radak. The Radak says, it's true of the nation. The Malbim says, nosein lev koach Yisrael shem ma'yifim ata. The Jews who are now tired, yitain lem koach. The strong young men, they'll still be tired. But only next possible.
And you copy.
Sure.
Thank you.
We're almost done, but you can look at it anyways. And the in 28, Malbim says, Haratz, the one who runs, you run a marathon, mityageya, loch, right? You get tired. Lochein holich. But even if you're walking, you will run out of strength eventually. Right? You need to stop to eat something. But God, right? It's constant. It's not just that He gives you strength, He gives you constant strength because it's not natural, it's miraculous. Okay, so just to summarize that point, so as we saw, most of the Mefarshim assume. The notes in Lekoach, the themes emerge from the Midrash around Echarabah, where, as the Midrash has it, either what it's teaching you is that you dwell on the miracle that A, God gives you life, and your own life, and not some Freaky Friday thing, right? And B, that He rejuvenates you, and then slowly, once you recognize that God gives you life and He rejuvenates you, you get inspired and you understand and acknowledge the power of God's ability to, in Latid Lavo, give you life again, and then even more so on the national level, to rejuvenate the entire nation. Or the opposite Midrash in the Pesikta, which is no, I start with the belief that God can rejuvenate the nation, and then I say, but how do I know? Where do I get the belief? What gives me the koach to believe? That is, I start from the individual. I reflect on my own life. And with the Shulchan Aruch Rav going farther, that maybe historically there came a point where this was more needed. And as we said, this is, again, it's just a encapsulation of the same ideas that drove the Minhag of Modani, because it really is the first thing you recognize in the morning. The Aruch HaShulchan argues that that's not the source. The source is Yeshayahu. In Yeshayahu, the main idea is that the strength that God gives us is unending, unnatural. It's infinite, because God is infinite. How do I know? Because God created the world. And therefore, youth and might give you a certain vigor, but it has its limits. But the strength from God doesn't have limits. And so what we're thanking God is not just that you gave us life, but that you give us, at some level, miraculous abilities. Or your, when you get koach from God, it isn't subject to the same limitations of the physical body. And that seems to be what you get out of Yeshayahu. Okay, I gave you three more things here on 29. Let's skip for a second. I gave you a little article here. This is like a modern article that I found online. But let's look at Rav Kook first, the Talior, and then I'll come back to a little bit of this. So Rav Kook says as follows. Niflahu koach hanafshi. The power of the soul is amazing. Hanatun betoch tiyah shel neshama, which is put in the innards, the inside of the soul. Hamenatzeach al tchuna chayim ufalezit darkei. Which overpowers all the natural, right, your tendencies. Even when weakness is overpowering you, and your natural power, based on their nature, as nature, magi. Im lidei mashber, reach a breaking point, reach depression. Aidei amichsholim arabim amdim le'negdam, because of all the obstacles in their way. Gam she'amachshirim ed hakochot haguvnim nifalam hamaleim otzim kol kach harim v'niyud v'ikuvim. Even when the strength that you have itself to do natural things, they face obstacles. Gam azmo fiyahu, even, right, and again, this is basically what you got from Yeshayahu, that even when nature doesn't have the tools anymore to give you power, God appears. Bechesed el gibor tamim deim zerem chayim ruchaniyim emekor ha'elyon shel neshama. At that point, superhero, el gibor is Hebrew for superhero, if you ever want to know that, right? If you ever look at, like, superhero movies, el gibor, right? Okay? El Gibor is a hero, yeah. A Gibor is like a hero, and El Gibor is a superhero, right? A Gibor is not just a strong person. A Gibor is a hero. And El Gibor is a superhero.
So we call Hashem superhero?
What? That's where it comes from. Anyways. Tamim Deim, the perfect knowledge. Zerim Chaim Ruchaniyim, a spiritual flow of strength from the upper, from the supernal horse of the soul. Hamachadesh Ruach Vurav, and it's in Koach Chadash, La'amel Chaim Ruchaniyim, Amagav Mati'ot, which gives us new strength for our purposes. This is the gift of God. From the master of all souls, that he gives us when our strength is running out. Until you are old, I am with you. Until really old age, I will carry you. The wonder of this ever-flowing spring. This strength that comes even when our natural abilities are done. That's what we say for. And again, I think that very much channels the pshat in Yeshayahu. Right? That even though youth runs out of its energy, God energy is super. Right, you are the Energizer Bunny. Wonderful. They still do those ads? The Energizer Bunny? They do? Okay, I don't know. I have not lived in America in a while, and let's be honest, we only watch things like Netflix and Amazon Prime. Anyways, there are no ads. Right, so like, who knows anymore? I don't know.
It's YouTube ads.
Right? What?
YouTube ads.
Yeah, I get YouTube ads also, but I haven't seen the Energizer Bunny in a long time. It's mostly like, for some, I get targeted by constant, like, stuckas for people in this country. I don't know why. I don't know what stuckas and investments. It's very odd. It's like invest with us or give us stuckas.
You guys get food delivery and
it's very scary. I'm telling you, the number of times, just because I'm scared of what I'm going to get, whenever I have this thing that whenever Aura needs to research a Shaila, like that she got, like a Nida Shaila, I always make sure she doesn't incognito, because that's all I need is that it's to start to see that are just searching all these detailed Nida Shailas, and then I start getting ads. I just don't need it. I just don't need this nightmare. It's like, no, seriously, I'm asking halachic questions. Like, don't give me, It doesn't help. It doesn't. Right. It's like, what? Yeah, it's like, they know too much about us. You just don't want those ads. No, you just don't want those ads. The Talei Orit Kut Tashar Kavanot from Sarizal. Shal Yidei Masha Adam Chotei Mavshitim Elav Levush HaKdusha. That when you sin, he has a more spiritual view of this. That when you sin, God takes off your holy clothes. Umal Bishin Lishmato Levush HaKlipa. And he dresses your soul in the Klipa. B'gidayim Soim. Right? Dirty clothes. Dirty spiritual clothes. V'akol Lefi Erech HaChet, depending on how bad the sin is. Kiyem HaChet Hu Kal, Nechlash Koach, Hushik Dushal Shin Shmato, V'einu Mistalek Me'alav L'gamrei. The Machet Hu Cham, or if the sin's really bad, Mistalek Alavush Me'alav L'gamrei. So you lose it. U'keneged She'bechinot Elu Nitkenu Birchat Malbisham Rumim U'Birchat HaNezun Lev Koach. And he says, it's this. Now, HaNezun Lev Koach is not about physical strength. It's about spiritual clothing. Says, Malbisham Rumim, Hinei V'chol Laila. Every night, kasher adam mafkid nishmato b'boker mitchadeshet. You give your soul to God, and then it's renewed in the morning. If you sin so badly that you deserve to die, right? So God takes away your spiritual clothes and gives you a new one. And if you just did some sins, so, you don't deserve to be stripped of your spiritual powers, but you... they are dirtied, then God gives you new ones. Now, according to him, therefore, this bracha isn't just about physical strength. It's about basically new opportunities. Right? According to him, right, getting all the Kabbalah on the side, what the Arizal is really saying is that you're not just really thanking God for strength. You're thanking God for new opportunities. I mean, we all know this. And psychologically, we know this is true. Right? Like, if you had a bad day, you were uptight, you were angry, you yelled at people, whatever, and like that day, there's no hope that you're going to make up with them. Right, go to sleep. But we say this all the time. You're in the middle of a fight, get a good night's sleep. And in the morning, right, we know this. There is a psychological reality. Exactly. We know this. There's a reality. It's a new day, right? And spiritually, there's a power to that. Not just physically that we feel rejuvenated. It's like, as Dr. Pelkovitz once said, when I was in YU in pastoral psychology, he said, people always say, don't go to bed, angry. Right, don't go to bed angry. He said that is the worst advice you can ever give anybody, any married couple. Always go to bed angry. Not always go to bed angry. If you're angry, go to bed. Meaning, when you're tired in the middle of the night, don't say, don't go to bed angry. Let's work out our fight now. That is the worst time to work out the fight. Go to sleep. Go to sleep when you're angry. Fine, so you're angry. But if you try to work out your problems and work through the fight at 11 o'clock at night, at 12 o'clock at night when you're tired, that fight is going to be exacerbated. He said, let yourself go to sleep angry and work it out in the morning, right? That's the right way to do things, And at some level, that's what the Arizal is saying, in a mystical level. But psychologically, it's true also, right? That certain things, in the morning, things look better, right? You have a new spiritual chance, right? You calm down, your body is rejuvenated, your mind is rejuvenated, and you say, thank you for giving me a new chance, right? And I think that's a very powerful perspective. Again, even if you leave the Kabbalistic side to it, the Klipo, psychologically, it's true, right? That sometimes you feel like, okay, I got to start all over again. Sometimes you just need to calm down, talk to me in the morning. Okay, the last thing I gave you is just an online article that I thought was very nice that went through this a little bit. And I'll just sort of summarize some of the issues that he says. He quotes, first of all, the Rokeach, who argues that, mystically, that there's significance to the fact that there's 11 words here, because there are also 11 psukim that talk about atzlut, and therefore this is somehow undermining laziness. Okay, don't ask me what that means, but okay. Some of the more mystical sources, the Ari says that each of the Berachot HaShachar, there's 15 Berachot HaShachar, then Netilat Yadayim, Talit Tefillin, makes 18.
Hi.
No, so he just says that each of them has a parallel to Shemoneh Esrei. Right, and therefore he says, so what's a nosin left koach? So why would we have added that? Keneged, no, the 19th halacha, which is Vilam Malshinim. Right, Vilam Malshinim, which was the last added bracha. And therefore, what does he say? Well, now how does he conceptually link them? It's not just that he's going to say, it's another bracha because we have another bracha. He says, well, think about what Shulchan Aruch Harav said, that this bracha was instituted post-Gemara, when we were in Galut, and, right, we are facing all of our enemies, right, which is what Vilam Malshinim is about. It's about our spiritual enemies, our physical enemies, and what's the parallel in the morning? Anotei Lev Koach, you give us strength to survive the travails. Exactly, right, but to survive the travails of Galut, right, so the Arizal says, if you think this is parallel to the 19th bracha, so that's, again, It fits with a lot of what we've been saying, even if it's not shot.
Yeah.
But he notes, but this article here notes that even if you don't think, right, you don't buy this particular takana, clearly that is the theme that you get out of Yeshayahu. Right? That's the pasuk in Yeshayahu, that our enemies who only have natural strength, their strength runs out, and our strength never runs out because we get it from God, and he gets us through the galut. Right? The psukim in Yeshayahu are in the middle of the right, the psukim about Yeshua, right, about God saving us. He quotes Rav Menachem Mendel Mivortsky, I have no idea who that is, who argues that specifically what we're focusing on the fact is that we can't even fathom, we don't really understand what God is doing for tzaddikim, and he adds some Yiddish perish on this. I'm almost done. You can do it afterwards. And he notes that maybe it's specifically about the power of the tzaddikim, that tzaddikim, right, the Gemara in Bava Basra says that if someone's sick, you go to a tzaddik to daven for you. So maybe this is about not just the strength that every Jew has, but again, the simple pshat is that the people who have faith in God, that's what it says in Yeshayahu. So maybe we're talking not just about the power that is given to every human being, but the unique power that's given to tzaddikim. The Michtev Meliyahu says, has a perish based in the Zohar, and has an interesting pshat, that it's noten leyef koach is lemisha me'ayef be'atzmo. If you exhaust yourself in working for God and learning Torah, that's when God promises you to give the strength. Which again is another way of reading Yeshayahu, that it's not maybe just the rejuvenation, but we're specifically saying, God, if we expend all of our effort for you, then where are we going to get our strength back from? From God. Right? So that's the Michtav Meliyahu's suggestion, that this isn't just us thanking God for every morning, but it's us thanking God for rejuvenating us when we need it because we exhausted ourselves in service through him. And then this article points out, right, that in the end of the day, the miracle of sleep, right, and what sleep does to us. And if nothing else, that's the point of this bracha, that when Chazal says sleep is the 60th of death, I mean, first of all, that's some level true, but also the fact that sleep, right, we come back and it's like, right, when we use this in our metaphors, right, we're dead tired. Right, you go to sleep, a 5-minute nap, and like, it really is just amazing. The power it gives us physically, spiritually. I mean, if you know anything about the science of sleep, I don't know how much you know about sleep, right? But really, like, yeah, I mean, if you want a nice book that summarizes the research, right, why we sleep, it's a very good sort of overview of the research of what it does to us physically, psychologically. Right, it really is amazing what it does to us at every level, and that is what we're thanking God for. The Marsha, in two places, notes that Talmidei Chachamim are specifically described as those people who shake sleep from their eyes, Ba'olam Hazeh. Right, that they shake sleep from their eyes, meaning they do with less sleep so that they can worship God. And based on that, the Marsha says, that's how he explains the pasuk in Yeshayahu, of Koyei Hashem Yachlifu Koach. The reason that God needs to give strength to people who have faith in him is because people who have the most faith in him and worship God the most are the people who don't even let themselves sleep. Right? They don't let themselves sleep properly and then mess up their lives forever. What's his name? At Blachman at KBY used to talk about this, that for years he didn't sleep properly. And now he's older, now he's in the 70s or something. And like it ruined him. He can't sleep through a night. Like he just messed his sleep cycle up forever. That's basically how I felt after Yeshiva. I haven't recovered. The constant cough I have? That I developed that in Shana Aleph when I was living on 4 hours of sleep. I'm 33 now. I still have that cough. It hasn't gone away, right? So yeah, sometimes, you know, you kill yourself. I probably shouldn't have gotten 4 hours of sleep every night for 2 years going, whatever. And then YU, and then so 5 years going, whatever. I probably shouldn't have done this to myself, but I did. So you need God to give you the strength back or you're not going to survive. And that's how they, right? So he suggests that based on the Marsha, that's really, that if you look at the Pesukim in Yeshayahu, they're not just talking about the generic strength you have, right? They're talking about the strength that is given to the people who are Koyei Hashem, who have hope in God. So based on that, he says, maybe this bracha isn't just about the strength you have every day, but it's if you exhaust yourself in Avodah Hashem, you need more strength from God. And that's what it's saying, is that God will also miraculously give strength to the people who need it. And he quotes several statements in Chazal. So, for example, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that Kol Ha'osik B'Torah B'Layla, Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshech L'Abchut Shel Chesed. Anyone who learns Torah through the night or at night, God gives you a Chut Shel Chesed, right? A string of kindness. And the Marsha there says, usually when people don't get sleep, what happens to them? They're grumpy the next morning. You know, they're a pain, right? He woke up the wrong side of the bed, right? Well, everything we say about, right? He didn't have a good night's sleep. He's tired. He's exhausted, right? There. And what the Marsha says is that that if you stayed up and you're tired because you were learning, then God helps you not be irascible, right? Not be, you know, curmudgeonly. I don't know, right? To be, not to be like half you guys are at 9, you know, at 8 in the morning, right?
No idea
what I'm talking about. Nothing, right? But what this article that I found, right, what he argues based on the Marsha is that not getting sleep because you're doing things that are important, right, make it that it's even more necessary for God to give you those healing benefits of sleep. So again, everything we've seen that is about the miracles of sleep, it's about the miracles on the national level. There's also the recognition that maybe this bracha is also about the unique ways in which God needs to help those who really work hard and learn and are involved in everything for Hashem and don't get sleep. They need even more strength from God. And maybe there's a hint to that in this bracha as well. He brings some hints to this. Then he points to a fascinating midrash. Midrash Rabbah says that at first the malachim thought that, basically they thought that when Adam HaRishon was created, they thought he was a god. They thought he was a god because he was made by God. So what did God do to show that he wasn't a god? He put him to sleep. Right? And as soon as he went to sleep, they knew that he was a human being. Now, that's a fascinating midrash because he says that what that midrash shows is that sleep is the symbol of humanity, right? That what makes it clear that human beings are human beings is that we need to sleep, right? And if that's the case, then there's a whole nother layer to this bracha, which is, it's not, right, it's the flip. It's not just the miracle of sleep, but it's, yes, is that we're thanking God that he gave us sleep, even though that is what shows that we're but human, right? That we're just human. And therefore, what we're doing is we're thanking that at the same time that we're thanking God for the miracle of sleep, we're acknowledging how low we are, that we're just human, right? It's like that fascinating moment where at the same time that we thank God for everything, we acknowledge that we need God because we're just human, right? And our recognition that we're human and need sleep only heightens our sense of gratitude that God takes care of us. Because if we thought we were gods, then what do we need God for? But if we recognize that we're not God because we need sleep, oh, so then anotin le'efkoach, you give us strength. And that's a miracle because we're only human. Okay, so those are just some other ideas in Osan Avkoch. And next week we will see, as I was mentioning to Arya, the really fascinating Maver Shena. We will start next week with the question of why it is included amongst the Birchot HaMitzvah in the Gemara. It's quoted amongst the Nitzel Yadayim and Tzitzis and all those. And then we'll go to the rest of the bracha and get what we can done before Pesach, which is soon.